Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino's down there in Studio X. He's trying to finagle. He was trying to finagle my camera to make it, but there's only so much we can do in this situation here. If you want to join the show, you can do it. It's 601-879-4395. That's the C Spire text line, and it is open to you. Mississippi State sports happening as we are live here on the show. Bulldogs, Diamond Dogs, I should say, leading Southern Mississippi 12-3 over at Duty Noble Field in the bottom of the sixth. They've got a man on second right now with nobody out. The run rule is in effect, so if State can push a run across here, they will push USM down to their final three outs and a chance to end the game prematurely, and that is probably going to do that right there. They will score a run. So 13-3 on an RBI single there. And State now with a chance to make this a shortened game if they can hold USM to no runs in the top of the seventh inning. Over in Greenville, South Carolina, not as good a news for the Mississippi State women's basketball team. They trail Missouri by 12 in the third quarter, 46-34. Bulldogs trying to remain in the field of 68 for the NCAA tournament. A loss here would likely put them very much back onto the bubble. So the Bulldogs need to find something in these next 8 minutes of the third quarter plus the fourth quarter as they have fallen behind to Missouri over there. Good day for the Diamond Dogs. They are hitting the ball well, and they have put some pressure on USM. So good to see you. You think about 2 weeks ago when State was down in Hattiesburg and were shut out by the Golden Eagles. Good to see them turn that around and get some hits. They needed that. They needed that. And overcame not a great start from Jacob Pruitt. A guy that we talked about last week was really good on Tuesday against Troy. There was some talk of possibly him getting a weekend start. He didn't have his best stuff today. And so, unlikely to pitch as a starter this weekend. Maybe could get a relief role on Saturday or Sunday. But when we talked to Lamonis on Monday about the possibility of making a change in the rotation, he did say that everything's on the table for him. So I don't know if maybe another name to watch there would be Ryan McPherson or possibly Charlie Foster or something like that. But it could also just be a situation where State just sticks with this rotation for one more weekend. You're playing a team in Queens that you should be able to handle relatively easily. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But for today, State getting it done at the plate. 13 runs, man on first, nobody out for the Bulldogs. Bottom of the order is up, Dylan Cupp, trying to extend this lead for Mississippi State. We'll come back to baseball throughout the show. We'll see if the game continues or not. But let's get back to basketball and talk about what happened last night at the Humphrey Coliseum. At the end of the day, with this basketball team at this point, we have to just kind of call it like it is. And I feel like we've held out hope to this point of, all right, they're going to finally start putting it together and start putting some wins together and build some momentum. And that's just not going to be the case. At best, they're going to go into the SEC tournament on a one-game winning streak, and that's assuming they can beat an Arkansas team that will likely be desperate for a win. A team that very much on the bubble and, would like to get a quad one home win to put themselves squarely into the NCAA tournament. So State's got a lot facing it on Saturday. They played a Texas team last night that I don't know if they'll make the NCAA tournament or not, but they are, a team that's very much on the bubble. And yet they came into Starkville and pretty much controlled the game throughout. State led at 32-31. From there, Texas got the lead and never relinquished it. They did get it a couple tied up a couple times, but State never led again. And the final score in overtime, 87-82. You know, 99.99% of the time, when you have a situation like what happened last night, where Texas had a 9-10-point lead with 3 minutes to go, they were up four with 13 seconds left, and yet State found a way to tie the game. 99% of the time, the team that's made the incredible comeback just goes ahead and finishes it up. That was not the case for Mississippi State. Texas came out, hit the first two buckets of overtime, and just sort of held on from there. State had an opportunity, had the Riley Kugel on the free throw line, down one with two shots, but he missed them both. And not to, you know, I don't want to put the game on Riley Kugel's shoulders. It's not his fault they lost that game. You can point to a dozen different things in that game. But at the end of the day, when we look at this Mississippi State team and what it is, they're just an inconsistent baseball team. And I asked this question earlier of Michael Borky, and I'll bring it back here, in that when you talk about this Mississippi State team, and if I were to ask you, well, what do they do better than anybody else? What are they elite at? What is their strength? What would your answer to that question be? And this is not a team that's elite offensively. They're not a team that's necessarily a great defensive team. They don't dominate on the backboards. They don't force a ton of turnovers. They're not a great three-point shooting team. They are a physical team, I'll give them that, but they're not the most physical team. You can out-athlete Mississippi State. What do they do good? What would you define them? What is the thing that they can rely on in a close game when they absolutely have to have it? What's the one thing they can rely on? They don't really have anything like that. And then you look at last night, Texas's game plan was very simple on the defensive end of the court. They were not going to let Josh Hubbard beat them. They double-teamed him every opportunity they get. They frustrated him. I don't remember. He has certainly not at Mississippi State had a game where he didn't score in the first half. He only took two shots in the first half, and one of them was a buzzer beater three-pointer that didn't go in. And so for State to only be down three at that point, I mean, that's a little bit of a win, right? That, you know, if Hubbard had scored his normal 10, 11 points in the first half, you would have been up. And I thought, okay, well, he'll turn around and he'll have 20, 25 points here in the second half and he'll really go off. And it didn't happen. Texas, to their credit, continued to fluster him, and State really didn't make a lot of adjustments to get him the ball. Defensively is where State did make some adjustments. They went to a full court press, and that really got Texas out of their rhythm, and that's what allowed State to come back. Somebody made a really good point. How many times do you lose a game where you force two 10-second violations? State did that, but they still lost the game. Right now, you know, I'll fill out a bracket like the rest of y'all, and when I do, I will probably just pick State to lose in the first round, regardless of the matchup. I just don't have a lot of faith in this team to put things together at this point. You know, now you think about this time a year ago. Now let's look at that. They lost that final game of the season to South Carolina. They were very much on the bubble, but then they went over to the SEC tournament, won a couple games, including beating a top five Tennessee team for the second time. And I remember, you know, thinking, okay, they were in the 8-9 game. I was like, they're a dangerous team, you know, with Hubbard. And Hubbard could be one of those guys that in March that everybody gets to learn about. And it just didn't happen. Michigan State handled them pretty easily. State right now is probably looking at an 8-9 game. They could still be a 7 if they could get a win on Saturday. But I just don't have a lot of faith in this team. And that's, you know, it. One thing we always say, right, two things can be true. I'm not a person who's going to sit there and tell you that Chris Jans is doing a poor job, right? This program has been to the NCAA tournament 13 times in its history, and he's going to have three of them at the end of this. Or he'll have three of the – it'll be up to 14 at that point. So he's done as good a job as anybody. But at the same time, you know, there is an issue here of – Is there a ceiling? You know, where is the ceiling? Can this team be better? Can they be more consistent? Now, I would tell you that next year, when you're going to build around Hubbard and Murphy, when you're bringing in the highest rated recruiting class you've had under Chris Jans, and you feel like you can do well in the portal, you know, the team next year should be really good. But this year, I just feel like they've underachieved, and there's just no getting away. Getting away from that. And I know it's kind of funny in that they were predicted to finish 10th in the conference, and they're probably going to finish better than that or around it. But just for me and my personal perspective and what I thought this team could be, and I've watched them play some games that make me think this team is a lot better than they play week in, week out. You know, the way they played at Memphis, the way they played against Texas A&M, the way they played at the two games with Ole Miss, those are all good teams. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament, and State won those games. You know, the Ole Miss game obviously went into overtime, but the other three wins were very easy for Mississippi State for the most part. And yet, State, you know, drops games to Oklahoma, not a good team. They drop a game to Texas, not a good team. They're just so, so inconsistent. And the highs have not been super high, and the lows have been very low for Mississippi State. They need to find a way to get a big win. Mississippi State fans would like to see a big, big win. Maybe it'll come in the SEC tournament. Maybe there'll be somebody who can knock off an Alabama or an Auburn or a Florida while they're in Nashville. Or maybe it'll be when they get to the NCAA tournament. We'll see. But for right now, Mississippi State basketball is just consistently inconsistent. I like what Isaac Trotter said when we had him on Sports Talk Mississippi. The idea of Mississippi State is better than Mississippi State right now. I agree with that wholeheartedly. All right, we'll update baseball when we come back. Bulldogs continuing to pour it on Southern Mississippi. This is Sports Talk Mississippi. I'm sorry, this is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Well, I guess I won't be subjected to any video clips or Twitter mentions tomorrow, at least the way it's looking right this second. Mississippi State is absolutely spanking Southern Miss right this second. 17-3 now in the bottom of the sixth. A three-run bomb by Ace Reese, the latest wound to the Golden Eagles. State has a man on first with one out. And, again, if they can go, if they can hold Southern Miss without a run, or can even hold them to four runs at this point, they will get out of there a little early. The game will be run ruled. This is exactly the kind of game Mississippi State needed to have today. By the way, this is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. I want to let you know that this Friday, 6 o'clock at the Church of the Holy Trinity, there will be an organ recital by Michael Betty, and it's 6 to 7 at the church on 900 South Street. Join them for an evening of profound musical expression through the timeless sound of the organ. For more information, call 601-636-0542. This is exactly the kind of game, though, that Mississippi State needed to have. Just, you know, and the fact that it's USM and it's a ranked team obviously makes it look a little bit better, but they just needed to get some demons out, man. They had a rough weekend. They needed to take it out on somebody, and Southern Mississippi just happened to be that team today. Not the game I expected, I'll be honest with you. I thought it'd be a close game, kind of similar to what we saw when Southern Miss was in Oxford a week ago, where, you know, they ended up losing 15-8, but that game was back and forth for a while. But instead, Mississippi State has just been locked in, hits up and down the lineup. And Chase Hungate coming in has really done a good job. You know, Jacob Pruitt was not really super solid in this game. Not a quality start. Only went, what, three and two-thirds, something like that. But Hungate has come in and played really, really well. Another base hit for Mississippi State. They're just teeing off at this point. So first and second with one out. 17-3 is the score there. I'm fascinated to see what State does with the rotation. And going back to what we said with, we talked about with Chris Lemonis on Monday on Sports Talk Mississippi, he said that, you know, maybe, he said everything's on the table with the rotation, right? You know, you look at what happened last weekend in Houston and the slow start you got from Carson Ligon and from Stone Simmons. They put you in the hole and you weren't able to overcome it. You know, you put together a late comeback, but it was too little too late in both of those games. And, you know, State is a team I know from watching this team and keeping up with them that they have a bevy of elite arms. They have better pitching than what they showed last weekend. And you're seeing it today, and you saw a little bit of it last. I mean, they scored 7 runs on Oklahoma State, and they had 5, I believe, on Arizona. So they can put some runs on the board. Ace Reese is really starting to come together. Noah Sullivan is a good hitter. And if Hunter Hines ever gets going, then you, I mean, talk about another elite bat there. You're putting 17 runs up on a team that has been really good and coming off of a series win over a ranked TCU team. So I know the pieces are there for them, but you can't fall behind 5-1, 4-0, something like that in the first, second, third innings. That's just it's a big hill to climb out of. Doesn't matter how good you are. And if you're playing a good team, that's going to be an issue. So State's got to figure that rotation out. They have too many good quality arms, guys who can throw high velocity but with command, that to allow themselves to just, you know, be buttonholed into, well, we're going to start this guy. You know, Ligon is a guy, the tools are there. You can see him throwing 97, 98, but he's not commanding the fastball the way you need to. And so, you know, I imagine he'll start this weekend because it's Queens, and maybe you let him go out there and have some success. But I'll be surprised if he starts next week when they're taking on the Texas Longhorns in the SEC opening series. So, I don't know. To me, this is a day that State needed. They needed to just have an easy one. Just come out, take control of the game. You know, State's, I'm pretty sure State has scored in every inning. I don't know that they've had an inning where they haven't put a run on the board. I mean, they got 17 runs, so I don't feel like I'm too far off on that. They needed this day, and so we'll see if that can turn into something. You know, I'll say it again. State at this point last year had 4 losses the same way they do right now, but their 4 losses last year at this point were to Air Force, Austin Peay, and Georgia Southern, 4 teams that did not make the NCAA tournament. This year their 4 losses are to Southern Mississippi, Troy, Arizona, and Oklahoma State. Those are 4 teams that will likely make the NCAA tournament. So the losses aren't super bad. You just rather have a good win in there, and that's what State doesn't have on its resume right now. They have 3 wins over Manhattan, not a good team, 3 wins over Missouri State, who I think could be a decent mid-major team, but we'll see on that. As it sits right now, not a good win. And then the win over Rice, who got run ruled in every game they played in that tournament last weekend. So getting this win here today is one that they really wanted to have. And it looks good. It looks good on the resume to beat a team like USM. USM's a really good baseball team. You know, I know there are some folks out there in the social media sphere who like to think that I clown on USM. I don't really, though. I think they're a really good baseball team this year. I think they're obviously an outstanding baseball program. It's just Mississippi State's day today. Oh, man, another defensive miscue by USM. Hunter Hines popped up into foul territory, and the third baseman just missed it. Just missed the ball. It should be out. Should be out right there. Instead, he'll get another chance. We'll see if he can make them pay for that. It's an 0-2 count on Hines with a runner's first and second. But, I mean, that should have been out right there. USM's defense today has been not what you would expect from USM at all. They have just not handled the ball well out there on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll see if Hines makes them pay for that. Hines is such an interesting thing, you know, and I asked Chris Lemonis about him on Monday, that because I know Lemonis, and I know that he's a loyal coach. He will give an upperclassman who has performed for him in the past, he will give him every opportunity to perform for them in the future. And so I know that he's going to give Hines chances. And a thing like today, you know, Hines in the first inning had a base hit to knock in a run. Hines has just got to find a way. Teams are shifting against him, and you know that's what baseball is today with these left-handers in college baseball, especially when you talk about power left-handers. But as Hines gets a base hit, man, good piece of hitting there. So that does come back to bite USM. Another run scores, now 18-3 Mississippi State. I'm trying to remember how many points State scored on Southern in football last time they played, but I think it was in the 40s. So we're probably not going to get that high. Not going to get that high, but Hunter Hines, good piece of hitting there. So he's got 2 base hits on the day, a couple RBI. That's exactly what Hines needed, just to have a good day at the plate. And so from there, that's good news. Big news over in Greenville, South Carolina, Mississippi State on a 17-1 run And have taken the lead over Missouri. So it was 46-34 Missouri at the 8-minute mark. It's now 49-47 Mississippi State with 1:56 to go in the third quarter. If State wins this game, they will advance to play the Ole Miss Rebels in a game that, you know, Ole Miss would desperately want to win because they are on the bubble of hosting. They're solidly in the NCAA tournament, but they could end up being a team that hosts a first-round regional, but they probably need to get a win just to be sure about that, so that'll be an interesting. That'll also be another matchup between myself and the host. I don't know if you know the host of the morning show here. Ryan O'Dea, have you met him, the new host of the morning show here on Super Talk Mississippi?
Yeah, he looks familiar.
Richard Cross. There's something about him. First off, he appears very untrustworthy. But secondly, yes, very familiar look. But he and I have a wager, and if I could, we may have another matchup between us. So we'll see what happens there. As Mississippi State now leading 51-47, Missouri taking a timeout here to talk about. This is a 19-1 run. They forced 8 Missouri turnovers in the last 6 minutes. You know, Mississippi State is a team, if you've kept up with the women's basketball team, they are a team that has struggled with turnovers this year. But they're doing a good job of turning over the Tigers in this one. I can't say enough of how impressed I am by the score of this baseball game. I just did not think Mississippi State was going to take Southern Miss apart like this. 18-3 is not a score I would have predicted under any circumstances prior to the first pitch tonight. But that's where the Bulldogs have the Golden Eagles right now. And again, that's a game that will go. Will only be 3 more outs available to the Golden Eagles should they fail to score in the top of the 7th. State's right now with 1st and 3rd, 2 outs with Ethan Pulliam, the startable native, at the plate, trying to continue to add to the damage today that State has inflicted upon their rivals from Hattiesburg. Let's go back to, you know what, let's do some football talk. We haven't talked football in quite a while. But we did an interesting segment on Sports Talk Mississippi about some of the names you need to know for this spring. You know, spring football is just a little bit away. We're almost there. Who are some names you need to know? You may not know the roster as well as you used to. I'm going to help you with that. So we'll talk spring football and some of the new faces that Mississippi State's going to have out there and some guys you need to know going into the spring and, of course, going into the 2025 season. Going to the top of the 7th, Southern Mississippi needs 5 runs to keep this game going. 18-3 Bulldogs. We'll keep an eye on that and the women's basketball game. We'll be back in just a minute here on Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Tell us, Ozzie. Mm-hmm. It is a final at Duty Noble Field. My SEC Network window says the event has ended. 18-3, final score, as the Diamond Dogs absolutely put one on Southern Mississippi to improve to 8-4, and they'll play 3 games this weekend against Queens. And there you go. So, good win for the Bulldogs. Really mashed the Golden Eagles today. 18 runs, 20 hits, 3 Golden Eagle errors. I told you their defense was not right. Noah Sullivan, I believe, was 4-for-4 on the day. Ace Reese with a home run. 5 home runs on the day for Mississippi State. Really good game. Over in Greenville, the State continues to dominate. This is now a 26-1 run by Mississippi State. They lead Missouri 58-47. With 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, Missouri was up 12. They are now down 11 with 8 minutes to go in the now down 13. We'll go in real time here. Now down 13. 14. That's 14, Brian. Do the math. In the fourth quarter. It's Mississippi State well on its way to advancing in the SEC tournament over in Greenville, South Carolina. And like I said, they will take on the Ole Miss Rebels when that game is played tomorrow. Hey, don't forget our friends over at Visit Vicksburg. If you're trying to find out more about what's happening in the city of Vicksburg, if you're in the area, you're going to be in the area, just go to visitvicksburg.com and check out their event calendar. It is chock full, not only of the big events, but the little events well. If you're just trying to find some live music in the city of Vicksburg, they'll tell you who's playing where, and you can check that out for yourself at visitvicksburg.com. So I said we're going to talk some football. It's March 5th. I haven't heard anything official from Mississippi State yet, but I will go out on a limb and tell you that I think State is probably going to start spring practice next week at the latest. Maybe the week after, but it's coming very soon. Spring game is April 19th. So who do you need to know? Who are the new faces that you need to be aware of? The first one is one of the top names in the transfer portal. And I don't just mean that from a talent perspective. He actually has one of the top names. And that's Fluff Bothwell, the running back from South Alabama. Not just a great name, a tremendous running back for the Jaguars last year. And he and Devon Booth and Johnny Daniels, you know, last season, when you look at Mississippi State, you could say that going position group by position group, how many real SEC caliber position groups did they have? And it wasn't wide receiver was. That might be the end of the discussion. This year, they have more than one, and running back is definitely one. Devon Booth, Johnny Daniels, Fluff Bothwell, that's three guys who I feel like State can count on to do some things in the running game. If you watched State a year ago, one of the bright spots, and there weren't many, but the ones that existed was by the end of the season, by about the halfway point of the season, State figured out how to start running the football and became a team that you could count on to run. And I think that can carry over into this year, and Fluff Bothwell will play a big role of that. Also, offensively, three new faces at wide receiver. You know, you lose Kelly Akari to the draft. You lose Mario Craver and Kevin Coleman to the transfer portal, and you've got to replace those guys. You're your three leading receivers. The guys that I have my eye on to be the biggest impact guys are Brennan Thompson, who transfers in from Oklahoma, Anthony Evans, who transfers in from Georgia, and Aiden Williams, who transfers in from Ole Miss. And the reason I say that is all three of these guys were connected to Lebby in the recruiting process somehow. Obviously, Lebby was at Ole Miss when Aiden Williams was being recruited to play there. He recruited Brennan Thompson and signed him to play at Oklahoma. Anthony Evans was committed to the University of Oklahoma and to Jeff Lebby, ends up flipping late in the process to go to Georgia. So Lebby is familiar with these guys, and they are speed guys. They are guys who are going to provide State with some over-the-top speed that they have lacked. You know, Craver had that a year ago, but Coleman was a great run-after-the-catch guy, but I wouldn't say he's a take-the-top-off-the-defense. Outstanding receiver, elite receiver last year in the SEC. But I wouldn't refer to Kevin Coleman as a deep threat. He had good speed, but he was not a guy who was just going to – you could just put him on vertical routes and expect him to beat DBs. He was definitely a guy who turned short catches into long plays because he was very elusive. Akari, not a deep threat at all, not a speed guy at all, more of a possession guy. These three guys are going to bring some speed, hopefully, to this offense. And as I said on Sports Talk and I said on Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, many times, if you've looked at Jeff Lebby's career trajectory, when you look at the numbers, every single year there is a guy who catches 60 to 80 passes for 700 to 900 yards and 8 to 10 touchdowns. That was Kevin Coleman this past year. I think State's poor season kept people from realizing just how good he was for Mississippi State a season ago. He was one of the top receivers in the country. Had a fantastic year for the Bulldogs. And, you know, State did not want to lose him to the transfer portal. You know, last year, 74 catches, 932 yards, 6 touchdowns. Somebody that I just listed, and maybe not. Maybe it's going to be, you know, somebody else. Maybe it's Marcus Allen, who transfers in from Eastern Michigan. Or I forget the other transfer's name. You have to forgive me on that one. There's so many guys. There's so many new guys in that receiver room. But one of them is going to catch 60 to 80 passes for 700 to 900 yards and 8 to 10 touchdowns. Just mark it in stone. Mark it in stone. State is now. This is silly. This is silly. It's a 30-1 run. I don't know that I've ever seen that. This women's basketball game is insane, and Missouri just turned it over again. What on earth? On the defensive side of the ball, the guy that I mentioned first to keep an eye on is Will Whitson. Will Whitson, a transfer from Coastal Carolina, big defensive lineman. If you watch Mississippi State last year, the one thing you know more than anything else is they struggled on the defensive line. You could just run the ball on Mississippi State. They didn't have anybody who could command a double team. They didn't have anybody who could hold anything up and allow the linebackers to make plays. They are hopeful that Will Whitson can be that guy. He was very good a season ago for Coastal Carolina, and that's why he was one of the more highly recruited guys that State was able to get out of the transfer portal. You know, he 6'5", 295-pound guy in his career. I'm sorry, yeah, in his career, 8.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 7 quarterback hurries as a defensive tackle. So those are good numbers. Those are numbers that are worth looking at. They picked up a couple of quality guys at the linebacker position. Jalen Smith is obviously the one everybody's going to talk about, the transfer from Tennessee. That's a guy that Tennessee did not – I don't think they wanted to lose him. So that was a kind of a recruiting coup for Mississippi State to be able to get him out of Knoxville. And he's a guy that I expect big things from immediately. You know, I was hopeful that State would be able to pair him with Stone Blanton. Blanton last year got a lot of hate, and early in the season he did struggle. By the end of the year, he was a solid enough linebacker. I don't quite understand the decision to go pro. That's something that maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him about at a pro day or something like that. But Jalen Smith is going to be a good linebacker for Mississippi State. They are going to be able to rely on him. He is a guy that I believe is an SEC caliber player from day one. Another guy to keep an eye on is Malik Silla, a transfer from Texas A&M. He'll be on the edge, and if you've kept up with State over the last few years, basically since Montez Sweat left, they haven't had a guy who they could just put out there on the edge and let him rush the passer. That's what they're hopeful Silla will be for them. They are hopeful that he can be that guy who gives them 5, 6, 7 sacks this year. You got to have a guy like that. You absolutely have to have a guy like that if you want to win in the SEC. And if Silla can be that guy for them, that would certainly be a big boost for them. In the secondary, the name to watch is Jerron Manning, the transfer from Old Dominion. One of the more highly rated transfers that Mississippi State was able to get. A guy playing in Conference USA, was an all-Conference USA performer. And a guy that is Old Dominion in the conference? No, they're in the Sun Belt. So all Sun Belt performer. And one of the first commitments to this class was Manning. And I think, you know, first off, I love the idea of a Manning succeeding at Mississippi State. It just makes me laugh. It's just funny. But safety is another position where I like what State has. They have some talented guys there with Manning. Obviously, bringing Isaac Smith back is huge for Mississippi State. That's another, I think, if you said what are the three best position groups for State right now, running back, linebacker, safety, I feel really good about those positions. Now, I will tell you that there are a couple of position groups where I look at them and I go, I don't know if those are SEC quality groups. Cornerback comes immediately to mind. So they, you know, they still have work to do, and there'll be another transfer window and we'll see who comes out of it. And who Mississippi State can convince to come in. They still need some players. They still need a few more spots to fill. But they've just got so many new faces this year. I mean, when I look at this up and down this line, this roster, I mean, there's just so many new names. And I know these guys. I mean, of just looking at numbers 1 through 10, or 0 through 10. 0, Brennan Thompson. He'll make a big impression this year. 3 is Anthony Evans. He'll make a big impression this year. Number 7, Marcus Allen. Number 8, Malik Silla. He'll make a big impression this year. Number 9, the two number 9s, Ricky Johnson's a redshirt freshman. You saw him a little bit last year. I know that they're very high on him to make an impression in this receiving corps. The other number 9 is Tony Mitchell, the transfer from East Mississippi, who played at Alabama before ending up in junior college. They expect him to be a starter immediately. Jalen.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go! Let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Sports Talk.
Nope.
Thunder and Lightning. I gotta get used to this now. Because I don't normally do the comebacks on Sports Talk. But now I'm doing them. And it's messing with my head, Rhino. This counts as shenanigans. I don't know that I can count this as a safe landing. I gotta be totally honest with you. It's my fault, but I don't know.
I blame the mozzarella sticks.
We'll see how it goes. You mean shenanigans? We're under a minute in Greenville, South Carolina. Mississippi State has outscored since the start of the second half. And really, it's more than this. But State was down 7 at the start of the third quarter. They have outscored Missouri in the third and fourth quarter combined, 43-16. They lead by 20 points. They were down 12 with 8 minutes to go in the first in the third quarter, and then went on a 30-1 run, I believe, and now are in complete control and will advance to the next round of the SEC tournament. They will take on their rivals, the Ole Miss Rebels, tomorrow. I'm not sure on the game time of that one, but we will keep an eye on that one for you. Good win for Sam Purcell. That should lock Mississippi State into an NCAA tournament berth. And what that would mean, because they were the only team that was on any kind of bubble, it should mean that it's got to be the first time in the history of the state that all four men's, the two men's and the two women's teams from Mississippi State and Ole Miss will all be in the NCAA tournament at the same time. That's a pretty cool accomplishment. And like I said, we're going to get a Mississippi State Ole Miss matchup tomorrow. Rebels won the only match. Kind of weird that, you know, you think about the SEC and you play some teams twice and you don't play some teams but once. State Ole Miss in women's basketball was only once this year, and it was a game in the Humphrey Coliseum that the Rebels won. So State will be looking to get some revenge. Ole Miss will be looking to make it 2-0 on the season, and we'll see what happens there. Ole Miss will be playing to try to seal up a hosting bid for the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State just trying to improve its seed line. Last I saw, the Bulldogs were on the 8-9 seed line, so they would very much like to avoid a one seed in the second round if they could get there. So good win for Sam Purcell. Shaquayla Jordan, 21 points. Destiny McFall, 19 points. Medina Okot, 12 points, 8 rebounds for her. And Anaya Russell, also in double figures for the Bulldogs, 10 points for her. State shoots 51% from the field and holds Missouri to 32% from the field, including 20% in the second half. So really good performance from State. And they shoot 63% in the second half. I think they scored 20 straight points at one point. So just a really good win for the Bulldogs, and they move forward. So a good day for Mississippi State. Will this count against the science? That's an interesting question. Does women's basketball count as far as the science go? I will talk to Dr. Robbie Falk, the inventor of the Falking scientific theory, and see what he thinks about this particular piece of information. Is this just an outlier? Does women's basketball not count towards the science? I don't know what the answer is on that one, so. Good win for State in baseball, though. 18-3. Again, I'm just surprised at how easy that win was. You know, I thought that it would be a close game, go back and forth, especially in the early innings when it was, you know, 2-0, and then it was tied, then it was 4-2, and then it was 4-3, and I was like, okay, we're gonna go back and forth a little bit here. This is gonna be one of those days. But give Chase Hungate a lot of credit. He comes in and takes control of that game and gives State some quality relief innings, and then the bats just explode from there, and they take an 18-3 win, and just the kind of momentum that they needed going into the weekend. Not going to be a weekend where it's, you know, you're going to learn a whole lot about your team, but you just want to win those games. Final score there in Greenville now, game over. Final score 75-55 is the final there. State had 32 points at the half. They scored 41 in the second half. And, again, they outscore the Tigers. 43-16 will get it done. Yeah. When you don't give up double-digit points in either quarter of the second half, you're probably going to win that game 9 times out of 10. So good win for Sam Purcell, as we said. And there we go. What happened to the Arkansas game Saturday? It's Saturday. What are you asking me, George? I don't know. It's Saturday. They play Arkansas. Not sure what's going on there. I love Falcon science. I mean, the Falcon science theory is one. It works. It 60% of the time, it's right every time. Softball went in too. 10-0 over the University of Louisiana. Good day for Mississippi State Athletics. State needed a day like this after the kind of basketball game they had Tuesday night. That was a really rough one for the Bulldogs. So it's good to see State getting back around to its winning ways, at least in that. And then, like I said, spring football, it's coming. It's going to be here sooner than rather than later. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to a beautiful spring of sports here at Mississippi State. Check out the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Tomorrow we're continuing our spring preview series with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Plus we'll recap all these wins that State's piled up today. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. You get the full show, commercial-free, everything that we talk about here in the state of Mississippi, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Southern Mississippi, the Saints, the SEC, college football, college basketball, college baseball. It's all right there on one podcast, commercial-free. For Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.